Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Shift.
Welcome back.
So Katie and I, working with the Zooms in this modern media environment, and we're giving you not only an audio experience, but hopefully a visual experience. How do you feel about that, Katie?
I love it. I don't really like that I look as pink as your shirt, but other than that, I love it.
Well, Katie, I have to admit something to you.
What?
I am using a ring light.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're so, I was thinking this whole time, I was like, your skin looks great. Your teeth look so white. Well, I'm just using a normal fucking light because I represent the normal people.
Well, I apologize.
I represent the poor.
Well, you know what it is? I've been doing so much content here in this crazy world of Corona that I've invested a little bit in a little bit of technology because, you know, we're stuck here with nothing to do, you know?
No, I was laughing when I saw your Instagram story of you getting the ring light, because I did see you get it. And I was like, I'm so surprised Amazon delivered a ring light in Corona times. Well, they were like, what's this priority right now?
Well, vanity is high up there. It's an essential service. So, Katie, would you like a ring light? I will definitely get you a ring light if you want a ring light.
Okay, I want a ring light. I want it glowing.
We're taking this audio visual experience to the next level. But anyway, guys, we have a fantastic episode coming up today because we have Sophie Jones, who I've gotten to know, through Joanne actually, and she's been helping me with information because she works as a sex and relationship therapist, particularly around sort of like psych. What is it? What did she say? Psychological, sexual health. So psychosexual issues. So I've been banging out scenarios to her and she's been helping out and I've been dying to get her on the podcast. So she'll be coming up and you guys sent us in some great questions, which we'll be posing to her. And Katie, you're quite excited because you have a lot that you want to ask her about.
Yeah, I'm terrified of STDs, so this is great. I'm very excited.
And of course, it's not just STDs. There's a whole range of issues that we'll be discussing.
Yeah, relationships.
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of people sort of posted in their fears and stuff. But before we go to that, Katie, just because these are crazy times, how are you holding up? It's now kind of 5-6 days since we chatted. How are you holding up?
I'm okay, actually. Because I was very tired coming up towards not like obviously I don't wish there was a pandemic and that is the last thing I would wish for, but it's nice to be able to sit down guilt free and just watch Netflix. Like I'm still doing like making content and stuff, but I'm sleeping more and I'm eating healthier, so I don't want this to go on forever, but I'm like, I'm okay, I'm doing okay.
Yeah, well listen, there's no shame in embracing what the scenario. I mean, at the end of the day, there's nothing else you can do. You're not being lazy. So if you found a way to embrace it, you shouldn't feel any shame about that, you know?
Yeah. Made my first sketch. Made my roommate get in it.
Oh, good for you. Yeah. I mean, I have enjoyed the ability to just sit down and sort of like, you know, do content-y type stuff. The only problem is that it takes a lot of... Like yesterday, I ended up like running out of time. I just like messing around because I did a Zoom with Stephen Mullen. So then I'm like editing these videos, trying to get like a good... You know, trying to get a good size. And next thing it was 10 p.m. I was like, how the fuck is it 10 p.m.?
No, I'm the same because I'm like editing all these videos. I did a virtual comedy show and then I'm trying to do all the TikTok stuff. Next, you know, same, it's 10 p.m. So I'm like, God, even if you have all the time in the world, you don't. I was going to say something there to you. Oh, yeah. And I'm getting all of my news. We don't have a TV, so I'm getting all my news through your Instagram stories. I'm like, oh, Trump said this.
That's funny you say that, because a few people have messaged me and said, you're my newsfeed. I actually, loads of times I'm watching your Instagram, and then suddenly it's like, oh, I didn't realize that happened. But today I haven't been good on the Insta feed.
Yeah, I the only time I've watched news on the TV was when we did the podcast in your place in the Hamptons. So.
Oh, that's right, because you're such a millennial that like TV is kind of foreign to you, you know?
Well, I said to my roommate, I go, oh, she goes, what do you do? And I go, I'm just reading the news. And then I went, well, I'm not. I'm scrolling on Twitter. So that's my news.
Yeah, so I mean, it is a absolutely insane time, but you're holding up okay mentally and all that stuff. And
yeah, so far so good, so that's good.
Oh, great. Well, listen, we got a great episode coming up, and myself and Katie will be back after the app. This is Sophie Jones joining us to talk about all your questions about sex, relationships, and STDs. Just a quick note before we start chatting to Sophie that we didn't have independent audio for Sophie, so we're using the audio from the Zoom. So please don't hate us that Sophie's audio is not up to our usual standards. Still a great chat. Enjoy.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. How is everyone?
Good. This is like a nice trio of accents.
That's right. It's a total international accent. Welsh, Irish, and New York.
Yeah, there we go.
So this is actually, Sophie, the first time that we've done a three-way here. So hopefully this works out.
Seems to be all right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean, I wasn't trying to make any innuendo. So you're like a sex and relationship therapist, right? I mean, how much are you allowed to give away in terms of what you do for a living?
It's tricky. Like, I obviously everything's confidential that I, you know, like with regards to client work, I can give specific examples. You know, I don't really want to say specifically where I work or where I'm based, just in case people are paranoid that they'll be identified in any way.
Right, but you're not worried about being seen or anything like that.
No.
So, like, in terms of your everyday work, like what are just generally like three of the main issues that come up when you're in your job? Like, what would you say are like the hot topics in terms of things that come to you?
God, like at the moment, it does change like all the time. Like previously when I first started, there was a lot around like HIV, health anxiety. That used to be the number one thing. But I think with PrEP and PEP and like more kind of awareness of it, that doesn't seem to be as much of a thing anymore. But that definitely used to be the number one issue that people would come in with. Just
all right. So you're getting people coming in with like quite serious stuff.
But like very anxious about contracting HIV. That's like people who work in like psychological medicine or not even sexual health, like that's a very, 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 very specific thing, like this health anxiety. Used to deal a lot with that. Previous sexual trauma, sexual assaults, and, you know, just generally not being happy with their sex lives and feeling they should be having more sex or better sex. This, yeah, a whole range of issues. It changes.
And obviously, Katie has a lot of STD anxiety, so she's very happy that you focus a lot on that.
It's so common. It's so, so, so common.
Katie, do you want to share? Yeah, go ahead.
As we talk, my vagina is burning right now. So I literally will phantom pains. But is that a real thing? Because sometimes I'll do that and then I'll find out that I don't have an STD, but it's just like I've managed to create a pain in my head. Like I really believe I can feel my vagina burning.
It's psychosomatic. Of course you can. Like the brain is a powerful thing. Like that happens all the time for people. That's super common.
It's awful.
Burning and itching and
I'm fucking itchy. I have a fucking itchy vag now. That's normal, right?
I'm triggering you.
I start to go, like, you ask my roommate, I'm like, have you ever had an itchy vag? I think I have an STD. And she's like, you're fine. It's just in your head.
Yeah, well, Katie gets an itchy vag the minute you mention an STD. So actually, just to start, just to warm us up, because I know Katie is dying to know. Sophie, you were telling me that actually you're involved in a group that does some work with Ireland, and you were quite alarmed by the number of the rise in STDs and the rise in HIV rates.
Yeah. So HSE a couple of months ago literally put out a tender to say they wanted a company, not necessarily in Ireland, like outside, to run like an online postal testing service in Ireland, because I think there's lack of access and the rates of STIs are just the roof, getting higher and higher and higher and higher. So they are paying for like a 1-year trial for a company to come in to deliver home testing to people in Ireland and to then kind of assess whether people like that, if it's beneficial, if people actually take up that offer. Because they do it in London, they do it in lots of other parts of the UK, and it is really popular. And I think that would be great for Ireland. Like, that's definitely happening. It's just
have they mentioned to you about what they think is going on in terms of why you're getting this huge increase? Is there something specific to Ireland, or is this across Europe, these types of increases?
It seems quite specific to Ireland, to be honest. And I think that's why they're going to pay for this like 1-year trial to really like study and analyze like hot spots, like heat mapping, like literally what is going on. Because like the HIV diagnoses are high. It's really high.
Yeah, I mean, so go ahead, Katie.
Well, I was just going to ask, like, even with HIV, is it contracted even if the person doesn't come inside you? Can it be just from, like, I have no idea how you contract it. This is a very stupid question.
It's not stupid. And, like, you know, HIV, if you're having condomless sex, there's always going to be a risk, regardless if someone ejaculates or not. You know, there's always going to be pre-cum. There's always a risk. So... how I kind of see it and how I would like people to see it is like a 3-monthly health check, like the same as you would go to a dentist. Like, regardless of who you're having sex with, regardless of whether you're using condoms or not, just get yourself tested every 3 months. And if you can get a kit sent to your home, you know, it's going to be discreet. It's going to be in a white envelope. There's going to be nothing there to kind of identify what it is. Just do all your tests at home, send it off, and then you'll find out.
And do you think
you send it off and then they send you back the results?
Yeah. So say, you know, you're a female, you have a vagina, you'll swab your own vagina and you'd prick your own finger. You'd collect the blood yourself and then you post it off.
And do you think that'll help to take away, like, is it the thought that people don't want to go for tests because there's a stigma, they're embarrassed, they don't want to be seen in the clinic? So is the idea behind this that if people can do it sort of completely confidentially, that it's just much easier to do it?
I think it's easier to do it and it becomes more of like a life routine. Like, you know, every 3 months, say you can set up an alert reminder every 3 months to say, hey, you know, order another kit now. And again, the stigma of it, some people would not ever go into a sexual health clinic. Like, they'd be mortified.
Yeah, there is definitely this sense of walking in there, you don't want to look anybody in the face, which is quite silly, really, because we all know that we're having sex. So why would you not want people to know that you're actually being healthy around that sex, you know?
But you wouldn't even know. There might be like, you might be just, if it's small towns like Ireland, you might have been just out of a relationship and you don't want your bump into your partner to know that you're having sex. It's more like the gossip, I guess. Whereas in New York City,
with local populations, absolutely. Like, I think small towns, absolutely, people are going to see that you're there and they know why you're there.
Do you guys have any like buzzwords or like simple sentences that you constantly try to reinforce to people about getting checked and why it's no big deal?
Yeah, because it's just get tested. There's so many misconceptions about STIs. Like, we weren't taught that in school, and you kind of just learn things through popular culture, what you see on TV, what you hear on the radio, and a lot of it is completely false. You know, even if you're using condoms with absolutely everyone, you still should be testing.
Right.
And what about, let's say, people now, specifically right now, during these like social distancing corona times, who had unprotected sex right before this happened and now worried that they might have an STD? Can they still, do they just sit this out, or can they go to the doctor? Can they get something posted to them?
it's really, 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 really difficult now, because obviously nurses and doctors who work in sexual health are kind of infectious diseases specialists. So in light of this outbreak, everyone's being redeployed. You know, it's mental, like clinics are all shutting down. So if you have no symptoms, we're just saying to people, obviously you really shouldn't be having sex now anyway, just kind of wait it out. But yeah, if you have, you know, blisters, ulcers, severe pain, you know, call a clinic or call a doctor to ask for advice. Don't just turn up anywhere.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and but also if you're just paranoid because you had sex with somebody recently, that's probably not a good enough reason to go get tested right now. Whereas normally it would be right now. It's probably just relax, no big deal.
Wait.
So just scratch your vagina.
Well, if you're only itchy, Katie. You know, Katie's trying to pretend she's not talking about herself here. If you're only,
I had unprotected sex before this COVID thing.
Before this what, Katie? Before this what?
COVID. So my situation is I was seeing someone and he told me he had been tested since his last partner and said, don't worry about, you know, I've been tested and I'm not out here fucking and like you've nothing to worry about. And we know each other. So I kind of thought, okay, but he never told me he's actually in an open relationship and was having unprotected sex with her the whole time. So never mind who she's also having unprotected sex with. So I kind of got myself stupidly, like I should have just insisted on protection, but this all just happened right before. So now I have like phantom pains and in short, it's just in my head, but it's, you know, it's scary. And then as well, it's the whole thing of when you decide to have unprotected sex with someone, you're trusting them. I'm using condoms now from now on until it's my husband. But
yes, but even if you're using condoms, like I don't want to be scaremongering anyone or in situations where you still should be testing, because you know when you think of the sex you have, you know he doesn't put a condom on like the other side of the room and then you kind of get together, like there's always contact and things, I think, before a condom's put on.
That true
is always there.
All right, true. Well, since we're on the topic of STIs, and I do want to move to our wonderful listeners, send us some questions and some stories. So I want to share a few with you now, Sophie, and get your feedback on it. I have a story about STI testing in college. She's in a particular college in Ireland, and after the infamous rag week this year, my housemates and I decided we should probably all get tested. I'd never been tested before. Most of us hadn't. So we said we'd do it just to see what it was like. As much for the safety as anything else. Anyway, one by one, we went in to get our tests with the student doctors. We were talking about it a week later when we got our results. Oh, everybody was good, by the way. When they got their results, her friend was like, weird that they need a swab of your vagina, throat, and anal cavity, isn't it? I thought they'd only want one swab. We all burst out laughing because Sarah was the only... Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to name her. But anyway, Sarah was the only one they asked for an anal swab. They must have taken one look at her and decided, oh, this one looks a bit wild. We love a bit of judging. We love a bit of judging a book by its cover in Little Old Ireland. Also, she's adorable. The least suspect looking of us all. Sophie, what's your thoughts on this story?
Oh, God. Like, that's just hilarious to say that the doctors and the nurses and medical professionals are the judgmental people. Like, it sounds like, you know, tests are all determined on clinical need. No one would ever be asking a patient to swab their bum if it wasn't absolutely necessary for that. Like she said something or answered a question a certain way that, you know, that professional thought it was essential for that test to be performed.
So basically what you're not admitting here outright is that her
she's
friend had anal.
Yeah, good for her.
She might be really, she's still sweet and adorable. That hasn't changed.
Exactly. There's a lot of judgment about anal, you know?
Oh, I feel for her because she must have just said that like a passing comment and her friends must have been like, no, we didn't have those tests done.
Then she was like, oh, that's so weird.
Outed herself. But Katie, yeah, like, you know, no one would ever make an assumption. You know, certain questions are asked, tests are always determined on need. So if your friend is getting their throat swabbed and their bum swabbed, it's they're doing something.
Yeah. Katie, do you have a question from your batch?
Let me see. Well, this is a serious relationship one, so it's not an STD one.
No, that's okay. Hit it. We'll go through all of them.
Okay, so she wants help with getting over a relationship with a narcissist. He cheated on me with a girl he always referred to as a friend, and now they're in a relationship. I have allowed him access to me again, and we have had sex recently, but he's still in the relationship with the girl. He contacts me when they fight or need something. Why can't I break ties? And then she said, we were together for 5 years, spoke about marriage, and he cheated on me and basically dated the two of us for 6 months. And this girl didn't know either. But she forgave him. And then for 2 months, he blocked her, had no contact or no explanation. And then she got a call requesting bail of €300 for court for breaking a barring order on his son's mom. Imagine
Jesus,
no contact.
Katie, come on. This is so obvious. Get the fuck away from this guy.
I know. Imagine no contact, and then called his girlfriend on the speaker saying he only asked for money because he said that this girl who's messaged us, owed him money, but she didn't. He owes her 3,000 plus.
What the hell?
Okay, and don't worry about it. It's too crazy. That's too many life situations in one. Like, fucking hell.
But I think there's lots of women as well who you know, who kind of just like let all these things slide, and then you're out of it going, what the fuck? I just told her, my advice was just block them and give yourself time or whatever.
Yeah. Well, that's fucking insane, you know? You don't need to be, you don't need to have a fucking degree in sex and relationship therapy to fucking, honestly.
Block, delete, move on.
That's God. Right. So I gave good advice. I can be an expert.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Another one from one of our listeners. Tips for telling a guy you are dating that you have vaginismus and endometriosis, which means penetrative sex is difficult, would be fab. So that's a genuine health question there.
Yeah, so obviously if someone is saying they have vaginismus and endometriosis, they are linked in the healthcare system. You know, that's not something you would diagnose yourself with. You know, you're linked in. And if you have a diagnosis of vaginismus, there are loads of things that you can do to help that. So essentially that means, you know, it's like a fear of penetration where you clamp, like your vagina muscle really clamps and stops entry.
Like, oh, right.
So sometimes even to the point where a woman can't wear a tampon because it's just clamped so tightly, can't even put a finger in. It just, you know, it doesn't happen. So she would be seeking support about that, and I would continue seeking support. But, you know, that's difficult to kind of answer tips to kind of raise that. You know, I would just say be open and honest. You have this diagnosis. Success rate for treating it is incredibly high. You're not saying this is going to be a forever thing. It's just something you're dealing with at the moment. And, you know, penetration is not the be-all and end-all, you know?
Yeah, so I guess it's good to just... if they have a sexual relationship, to just introduce the fact that for the time being, it would be great if we didn't do that, but we'd try everything else.
And therapists would bring the partner in. Like, I think when it's more of an established relationship, you know, and that's still a problem, that partner can be brought in as well and have sessions together.
She could have anal, can't she?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's an option as well, if she were willing to go down that road.
Yeah, well, like loads of different things. And, you know, it's caused by a whole range of reasons and, you know, some physical, some psychological, but the success rate of kind of helping someone in that situation, it's high, it's good. Like, that's not usually something someone would have to deal with forever and ever.
All right, that's good to know. And I'd never heard of that before.
Yeah, it's common.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I know a girl who has it, and it was on sex education as well. There was a girl, and actually that girl should watch that episode of Sex Education because it shows like the things you can get for exercising.
Dilators, but it's really difficult as well for, like, you know, cervical screening to test for cancers. If you literally can't put a finger in, how can someone do tests for you. So like some women do have to be sedated or put to sleep to have these routine tests.
Oh, right.
Just that you brought that up, that's something I wanted to ask about as well. So like, you know, like most women are my age and above have been, will have HPV, right?
Yes. Yeah.
When I was at the gynecologist, she said you don't need to tell partners about it because everybody has it. What is that true?
It's true. Like HPV, so the human papillomavirus, hundreds of strains, and it's a transient virus. So say you could have a test today and they could be like, you have strain 14, 16, 22. They could test you tomorrow. That could be completely different. Like there's no rationale in really telling someone that because there's nothing that a partner could do. You know, as a woman, you know, we have cervical screening to test for abnormal cell changes, you know, which could indicate cancer. You know, we do that as routine. For men, like, there's nothing really for them to do. So
but, tell yeah.
you have a strain, what can they, because condoms help, but they're not 100%.
Okay, that's good to know. Because especially like, I guess, what I'm just thinking as well, if you have it and then they have unprotected sex with you and then go have unprotected sex with another woman and she might not have it. So that's where I'm thinking, do you have to say it? But my gynecologist said no. Yeah. Same with you, she said.
But that's
she said
the risk
really no.
sex. You know, there's hundreds of strains. All of us, you know, as we are now, will be carrying strains. Like that's the reality of it. You know,
yeah.
The risk of having sex, you know, is that you might acquire some strains that cause wart symptoms or some strains that are likely to cause cell changes.
Yeah.
You keep on top of it. You have your tests, you have your checks.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't worry about it.
Just for the record, Katie, I mean, not that your worry is unnecessary, but you are the only person I know that worries about HPV.
Yeah.
Well, it's just because I never knew about it and I don't know. And then recently someone said to me, oh, you're meant to tell your partners that like guys can get cancers from it. And I don't have a cancerous strain or anything like that. So I just was like, wow, I need more information about this. But it was just, yeah, since you were here, I was like, I think he was just giving wrong information, this person.
But that's, it is common. I see a lot of men that come in and they say, you know, my partner's told me this, like she has this strain. What can I do? There's no test for men. Like there's nothing to do. You know, if they ever notice symptoms on their genitals, go and see a doctor. You know,
yeah, if they get genital warts, it's just that's pretty much the only thing they have to worry about. I know that there's what small incidence of penile cancer, right? But like, really, it's not the main concern in terms of HPV spread.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
And then one strain, right? That has the genital warts. There's like all these hundreds of strains, right?
There's hundreds of strains. Most of them do absolutely nothing. And yeah, you know, if you are unlucky, you acquire a strain that causes wart-like symptoms and you have genital warts, easily treated, gone. Symptoms are gone.
Mm. That's great. This is so great to hear. That's the thing. I was worrying even about a strain that doesn't cause those, but I just didn't know. I just don't have the information. So,
and I would just hate for anyone to like carry around that burden that they have been told something and they feel they're irresponsible by not telling other people, or they, you know, are concerned about spreading it on. You know, you're the same as absolutely everyone else. We all have strains.
Yeah.
And
okay,
just a final thing on that, because I want to ask a few more questions. Is the hope now that because of the HPV vaccine that this is going to be less and less of an issue?
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing. Like, I don't know, in all different parts of the world, it's different. Like in Australia, for example, they've been vaccinating people for years and years and years and years and years. Well, that hopefully it'll be a thing of the past.
All right. Well, let me ask you, this is another question from one of our listeners. What could be reasons if a man can't climax? That happened the last 2 years before our separation. She's recently separated. I thought because he didn't find me attractive anymore, given the state of our marriage. Only recently, I started to think there might be other reasons. He was on antidepressants for a number of years, but this nagging doubt is in my head. He's in a new relationship, which intensifies the doubts. The sex happened during good periods in between the bad.
Oh.
Man can't climax.
So So she's saying that she always thought it was because he didn't find her attractive, and now she's wondering if there were a... Of course, there are other reasons, of course. You know, there's lots of physical reasons, you know, thyroid problems, depression, certain medications. You know, there are actual real physical health conditions that can stop that from happening. Substance misuse, drug use, that can happen. And then also psychological issues. It's actually quite, I wouldn't say it's because he found her unattractive. That would be like the bottom of the list of all the potential reasons why that was happening.
Right. So that's good to, it's good to alleviate. Yes, it's sad that she held on to that.
Yeah, for all that time. Because it could be a genuine physical health problem. And that's what I'd always say to men. Like, if anyone's experiencing that, the first thing you do is go and see your doctor. You have a whole range of blood tests done, you know, and then if they deem it to be a psychological issue, then you can manage that.
Sorry, I got distracted. Katie, do you have any more? I was going through my questions.
Well, I put up on Instagram just like, you know, so they could put in the little short questions, but a lot of people asked about when is a good time, like, or like how to insist on condoms, because we've all been there where you kind of just, you get talked out of it, like how, or yeah, the conversation of just being like, because a lot of people try to talk you out of using condoms, like how to be very strict and stick to your guns with still being like sexy. So a lot of that, a lot of condom questions.
Yeah. And like negotiating condom use can be an absolute nightmare. Like we all know, like it can be an absolute nightmare. And, you know, I'm not saying that people that don't use condoms are bad, because it's all a personal choice, and it's just about communicating about what you're comfortable with, and they can take it or leave it. You know, when we say sex, it's like you have to kind of define what sex means to you. So like sex for you could be, you know, we use condoms. That's like, if I'm agreeing to have sex with you, this is what it is. They can take it or leave it.
Yeah, but yeah. I guess it's hard to navigate through your own insecurities and your own sense that you don't want to disappoint this guy, or you know, I guess it's hard to sometimes for people who don't have the same level of confidence or even awareness that you have to be strong.
And as well, it wasn't just women writing this, it was guys as well, because a guy wrote saying, is it okay to ask for her STD check, like her piece of paper, which I think we should be allowed to be like.
Yeah, but it's irrelevant anyway, because unless it was last week, you know, you have no idea.
That's so true. It's really tough.
Yeah. And quite a lot of like services now, you have like an app on your phone, so your results are there and you can share it to partners like via WhatsApp and things like that. So people do that. I don't think people walk around with a little certificate anymore.
Clean.
Yeah, for fine.
All right, so
I'm a burden, but that's in my head.
So I have a question here, which I know from talking to you, Sophie, is something that comes up a lot in your work. This woman's been with her partner for 4 years. Just before I met him, his parents died within 6 months of each other. Our sex life was great at the start, and after about 6 months, it became less often and regular. I put it down to one incident. He couldn't get an erection, and since then, it's affected his confidence, and he's afraid to talk about it. When I try to talk to him, he clams up and gets angry and defensive. He's a proud Irish man. He's 47. She got a testosterone check for him. Sorry, I had to go to the next picture, and it was fine. So before his parents died, he played football. Whatever. And she's given a lot of backstory, but basically, I know that comes up a lot in terms of men not getting erections, whether it's a man's concerns or a partner's concerns.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the most common things that you see in psychosexual medicine and therapy. And it's difficult if one partner is wanting to engage in that process and wants change, and the other one is a bit resistant or a bit shy about it, would rather just, you know, kind of ignore that that's happening. You know, what I would say to her is that if, you know, she wants help in this department, for her to kind of seek support herself and then kind of go to sessions, even though it's not her problem per se, and maybe that would encourage him to kind of be a bit more open about what's going on. because it is really difficult. If a man, you know, is kind of not wanting to engage with that, what can she actually do to help?
Yeah, and it's a toughie too when you just think like nowadays you wish that you could just kind of give him a little shake and be like, go get some Viagra and have a good time.
Yeah, just go. Yeah, try it out.
Yeah, like why not just try it out? It's like a very simple fix for your situation. You know, you take a Viagra. It's not an admission of weakness. It's just like you've gotten older, your blood flow, whatever. It's no big deal.
Yeah, exactly. And same as, you know, the previous kind of question, it could be a whole range of issues. It could be something so simple that's so easily rectified. And again, the success rate is super high. So it's just about encouraging that this doesn't make them less of a man in any way. It's a health issue.
Yeah. Katie, do you have another one? We'll ask two more and then we'll let you go because we really have taken up a lot of your time.
This is a COVID. What the fuck is wrong?
COVID.
I said it right. Okay.
No, this is two episodes of this, Sophie, just in case you're wondering why Katie's making a big deal of it.
This is a corona question. Yeah. No, so in isolation and haven't seen my man for 10 days, my son has asthma, so I need to be extra careful. When can we go back, or how can we go back to normal when this passes? So I guess she's just worried after all the isolation, stressed out, worried, will they go back? And we already did an ep about keeping up like sexting and stuff, so I'm sure she'll do that, but she definitely wanted it.
Aren't we all? I think we are all facing like a time where we're not having sex. Like, and we don't know how long this is going to go on for. It's so unprecedented. Like, I've never known anything like it. You know, as you say, like sexting, video calls, you know, talking about past times that you've had together and kind of reminiscing about that. And like, you know, the anticipation that, you know, you will be together soon. Like that's going to happen. But it's just bizarre times for everyone. I think we're all in the same boat, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that it's worth the effort to try a little bit of sexting, a little bit of expressing your passion through words or through your voice, just to remind people that the desire is there, you know?
Well, yeah, I have a... Oh, sorry, you would say... Okay, go ahead.
I say to people who are always... If they're shy about initiating that and they don't know what to say, if they find it really cringe and embarrassing, it's like that sexual nostalgia. Just go back, like tell your partner something that you really enjoyed that happened just before you were separated. Just kind of tell them, could you remember that night? That was great. And start it like that.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Especially when it's your partner.
Yeah. Like, I think people feel pressure that they have to make up this kind of really sexy narrative. Just say, you know, if that wasn't that great when that happened last week.
Well, that's great. Exactly. That's great advice. Yeah. And then,
well, we had one listener who said that has been a huge help for him. He said he listened to last week's episode, but just for this girl as well, he said we can say his name, Johnny. Recently started seeing someone to help us get through this. We've started through voice memo chat and it's helping a lot. And the fact we only slept together a couple of times, that her talking about what she likes and what makes her really turned on is really hot, and hopefully it will make sex better for us in the future. And the sexting, which I haven't been that used to, is a lot hotter than I imagined. So there you go. You guys, that's take it from Johnny.
That's good feedback. Okay, let me get one more question in before we let you go, Sophie. Because I know it's later for you guys than it is for me, and this is the clocks go back tonight. So
Saturday night.
Yeah, it's Saturday. Is it Saturday? Who the fuck
this
cares?
Is my Saturday night. Wild.
All right. So it's a 25-year-old single lady. She finds it really difficult to orgasm with a guy. It's only happened once. This comes up a lot, by the way. Yeah. I don't know if it's relaxation/mental thing, but I also find. Okay, so this last question. Sorry about that. We had a technical difficulty. So 25, she's single. Really difficult to orgasm. Is it relaxation or a mental thing? But she also finds that guys can be selfish in that respect, which of course comes up a lot.
Yeah. So I just need to remind myself. So she's 25. Single, finds it difficult to orgasm. So I would presume by that she has orgasmed in the past. So when we see people in the clinic with that kind of issue, we separate it into primary and secondary. like a primary kind of presentation would be where someone has never orgasmed before. And that's a kind of very different treatment plan. Like that's a lot of different work that gets involved with that. If it's a secondary presentation, you know, did she say it's a problem with relaxing and she's single, like she needs to use this time to like loads of masturbation, getting used to her body, finding out what she likes and what works for her, you know, get that down, you know, she's done it before, you will do it again. It doesn't disappear. You know, you have that physical ability to do that. It hasn't gone anywhere. And, you know, if that's an ongoing issue where, you know, you find it really, 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 really difficult and it's bothering you, there's loads of services to help, loads. But for some people, again, or like coming is not the be all and end all. And lots of people are happy with that and they wouldn't want to seek support or additional help around that issue because they enjoy sex in other kind of ways and it's not always what's the most important part of being intimate with someone.
I mean, we push this a lot on the podcast, but just because you're a bit more in the know, I mean, it is 100% official that the more women masturbate, the easier they find it to come, right? Isn't that, well,
yeah.
It's not. I guess you can't say anything's 100% guaranteed, but it's a proven method of achieving more orgasms when you're with other people, if you practice on your
own. Absolutely. And like, you know, she's single, she's 25, she's young, use this time. You know, I wouldn't be worrying about it at all, you know? Don't be anxious about that. You know, lots of people regardless of what's going on in your life, you know, can struggle with that at certain times. It's common, but it will come back. You've had it before. It will happen again.
Oh, that's great. Well,
yeah. And
go ahead.
There's also like as well for certain women who are like nervous to, let's say, orgasm if the guy's looking at her. So just do it doggy style and then just touch yourself.
Exactly. You know, like you get it down to a routine, you know, use the time. This is like perfect isolation time.
I know. I am masturbating so much. It's good for your immune system. It's keeping me ripped. Yeah. My stomach is... I have a nice stomach, but I think it's because I orgasm so much.
You feel good hormones. It's like great.
Good for cramps. I heard it's good for period cramps.
That's true as well.
I mean, that's how I deal with my period cramps all the time. I just
good to know.
Masturbate. You know? Anyway, Sophie, thank you so much. Do you promote your Instagram and stuff, or are you here more as a medical person?
Yeah, don't promote me. It's fine.
So, Katie, what did you think of that? That was a lot of info that we just gathered up there. How are you feeling?
Oh yeah, no, great. That was amazing. This is so funny. I actually feel like my phantom pains went away in the space of this conversation with her. So that was really good to know.
But I think a lot of people can identify with phantom pains, not just in terms of STDs, which we've mentioned a lot, but also in terms of, I pretty much wake up every morning thinking I've got the coronavirus. People have mentioned it already. I hear everybody says that. Like people have asked me, even though they haven't like listened to my podcast or watched my Insta story and said, do you wake up every morning feeling like you have it? It's like everybody has that.
But you know what I do? I've been waking up and been like, oh, I have a sore throat. I have it. And then I have to remind myself that I've had a sore throat every time I've woken up in this bedroom for 6 months because of the heating.
Heat.
And then I have to...
so dry.
You nearly need to write down a list of things like, remember you have allergies. Remember you just drank water weird. That's just a normal cough. Like, it's making us all hypochondriacs.
Whew. And by the way, you know, when you're talking about phantom pains and stuff like that, I mean, I have had like genuine burnings in my dick that, because by the way, I mentioned it once before, but I had chlamydia once and it had a certain feeling, you know? And after I had chlamydia and dealt with it, like a year or two later, I had the exact same feeling. I was like, God damn it, I got fucking chlamydia again. And I literally walked around for like whatever it was, a week or two, till I had a chance to get a test. Like just like absolutely full on chlamydia. I didn't have, you know, I just stopped all contact with people. And it was a chlamydia. I don't know what it was, but it was, she said it's probably soap got, you know, like you probably some soap getting up in your dick. A lot of men when they wash their dick. Yeah. Actually, by the way, like a lot of men when they wash their dick, you're not really meant to wash your dick with like a lot of soap and stuff. Long story short, like the burning is not always an STD, but you should always get checked, which is what I did. But it's just so funny what your mind can do to you.
Well, also as well, because I right when I found out that you know, I thought I was sleeping with someone who, anyway, right when I found out that he was also sleeping with someone unprotected, that's when I started to get the pains. But it was the same day that I washed my clothes, I have very sensitive skin, with a different detergent. And when I Googled things, it was like, oh, for women, if you use a different detergent, that can cause a bit of an itch or a bit of a flare up. So it could be just something as simple as bad timing and detergent. But
sometimes it is your head. Like, I mean, sometimes it absolutely is your head. Like, I thought I had a fever. Like, I don't have a thermometer here. I can't buy a thermometer. But before I left Rialto, before I left Dublin, I thought I had a fever every fucking 3 hours. I take my temperature. It was low. I just in my brain, I was like, am I hot? Am I fucking hot here? I take my temperature. I don't know. I've got nothing, you know?
Anytime one of us sneezes or coughs in the apartment, we're both like still for a second, just looking at each other.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I anybody that coughs, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody on the phone the other day and I got a wrong pipe just with my own spit. I wasn't drinking or anything, but just I got like the wrong pipe with my own spit. And then they were like, what's going on? I was like, it's a fucking wrong pipe, bro. Relax.
For sure. I did this at the extra. I coughed for a second and in my head it was like, oh, listeners are going to think I have it. Jesus.
I know.
We're going to need STD checks and COVID checks after this is a
STD check. You know, on TikTok, they do that like hot mom check, STD check.
And the COVID. Check as well. You're going to need two sheets of paper going around going, I'm clear from both.
I was actually quite shocked how many people enjoyed the comedy around you not being able to pronounce COVID. I like we do a lot of funny stuff. For some reason, I got way more messages about fucking COVID.
I got so many messages being like, please don't learn how to pronounce it. And I was like, it's my brain. There's something wrong with my brain. But also, you know what I was thinking? So there's a huge thing, uprise on Hinge dating over here because of the, obviously people can't see each other, like online dating. And some guy took my number and he messaged me and was like, what are you doing tonight? Do you want me to make you dinner? And I was like, dude, do you not know there's like a pandemic going on? And he was like, wow, you're taking it really seriously. And I like sent him a picture.
What?
I know, isn't that crazy? And I was like, seriously, there's coronavirus. What is wrong with you? Stay inside. Isn't that mental?
God, you're taking it seriously? It's like, dude, I find first dates to be like quite tedious as it is, as if I'm going to risk infecting myself with coronavirus to have like a half-assed fucking, not to mention that's like this guy trying to get a one night stand out of making
right,
dinner.
Cook
like,
you dinner. Fuck off.
Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, and I.
Anyway, Kate.
Oh, well, just.
Go ahead.
I invite, just, you know, because people are like, how do you keep up the Hinge stuff, but I did invite a Hinge date to the virtual comedy show we did, and he watched it and he was messaging me about it and he had a great time because he had nothing to do on a Friday night and it was lovely. So anyway, just, you know.
Well, you did that last night?
Yeah, it was actually fun. I didn't do my stand-up. I took a dirty book and I read from it, like as if I was like reading a serious book. So, and then I did like a character where I was like, you know, I did like stuff I would never do on stage. And then I just told a story. So I was like actually happy.
Yeah, it's vlogging.
Yeah.
It's vlogging. And you should explore that more because I always wonder why you don't do more like talking into your phone on Instagram and stuff like that. Like, I think you should explore that more.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited. It gave me loads of ideas. So actually, yeah, I'm going to use this time as productive as possible to do more, you know, yeah, stuff like that.
All right. Well, let's hit the road. Don't forget, at Katie Boyle Comic. I'm at Des Bishop. Any final words, Katie?
No, just keep, you know, supporting us, especially right now. I'm on TikTok. One of my videos did really well on TikTok, so that was good.
You got on the For You page. What did you do? What did you get numbers wise?
Nearly a million, 900,000 views or something.
You got 900,000?
Yeah, on one of my clips. Over 900,000.
A million?
Yeah.
Well, that's exceptional.
Yeah, I know, but the rest of them didn't get that. The rest just got like 50 to 1,000 to a 50. It didn't get like, one other one got 50,000.
I know, but a million?
Yeah, wait, let me.
How many followers do you have?
Only 10,000. It was my first clip that went up. It was like my third clip. It just went viral. So it got 955.7K.
So. 955,000.
955.7K.
Yeah, that's 955,000.
So what's that like?
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I got
that's nearly a million.
I got 10,000 followers from it. So, but the other
that's amazing.
Yeah, that's good.
But that's what happens when you get on the American For You page, man. It's humongous. I noticed that like the American For You page is just insane.
What's For You?
So when you go on your TikTok, we are still recording. Fuck it. We might as well. For people that don't use TikTok, when you go on your TikTok and you start flicking up on the videos, one side is the For You page and one side is the people that you're following. But when you go on the For You page, it's just random stuff that comes up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I got on that because apparently what happens is all your videos, they show to 100 people. And if the 100 people like it, it will show to another 100. It will show to it. So there's always a chance of your...
No, there's nobody knows the system. But the reality is that sometimes you get on the For You page and sometimes you don't. That's how it works, you know?
Yeah, I've only had it for 2 weeks, but my brothers and sisters were just like, put something out every day, every day. I was like, okay.
No, but Katie, I mean, the fact that that clip did 1 million on the For You page is huge. Like, that's a huge jump to get to 10,000 like that. That's not, you know, that's not the normal experience all the time.
Okay, good, good, good. Because, you know.
Well done. Congratulations.
Thanks. I need this. I date shitty men.
So. All right. Well, let's go. We'll chat to everybody. We'll chat to everybody soon. Don't forget, 5 stars on iTunes. Yeah. Subscribe. Take all the pictures. Leave a comment, flick all the way down past all the episodes if you're on iTunes and leave a comment. Yes. And
you have the time now.
And loads of feedback on Instagram. Hit those DMs.
Love you.
And we'll chat to you next week.
Watch my sketch.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.